Because I would walk in the door, pay attention to the feeling I get when I walk in. What things do you see on the wall? How clean is that space? How organized is the space? What things do I see on the walls that communicate a message to me, whether that's a message of belonging, messages from school? What things have you put my attention on to either a parent or a student walking in the building, and also staff? Gosh, we've done so many things in high school to really enhance those spaces for staff.
Welcome, listeners, to this special episode of Love, Sweat, and Tears, the podcast takeover by your host, me, Martin Silverman, and I am here with three fantastic educators from the beautiful state of Montana. I want to introduce the guest today. We have John Conan, otherwise known as Johnny Montana, the superintendent at Stevensville School District in Stevensville, Montana. We have Travis Niemeyer, the principal at Beartooth Elementary in Billings, Montana, and Brian Miller, principal at North Middle School in Great Falls, Montana. Happy to have you guys here this evening. And you guys ready to talk about some school culture?
Let's do it.
So I'm going to lead you guys into a short introduction to the topic tonight, because culture, school culture, is a huge piece that is, you know, probably one of the most important things that we can do, if not the most important thing that we can do as school leaders. But, you know, you can tackle everything at once, or you can try to tackle things in little bits. And I want to talk about just a little bit today, and that is building a positive staff room culture. So just as a little background, every school has a staff room, but not every staff room supports morale. Some are hubs of collaboration, others drain energy. In this episode, we're going to explore how school leaders can shape staff spaces to foster positivity. So you guys have all had some experience. You have some experience with your staff room. And when you think about the room that your staff members go to be away from their classroom, and we're going to put it that way, be away from their classroom for a little while, and yet it has an effect over the whole school. What do you feel like a healthy staff room culture looks like, feels like, sounds like? Who wants to jump in on that?
Johnny Montana, he's superintendent, principal.
Well, great question, Martin. I believe that staff lounge can have a tone sometimes that is not popular. And one of the things that we talk about is, especially when we're talking about students, is that we're swinging everything to the positive and talking about the future and talking about solution-based comments. So many times we get in there and we poke the problem, keep up with it, riding the horse and keep beating dead, and we can't fix the problem. So we got to get that horse and find a solution. Fortunately, that staff lounge can be a place where people come in to commiserate. One of my good friends, Hal Bowman, talks about toxic empathy. And toxic empathy defines as where people come together and talk about problems in an empathetic way, and they commiserate with each other, and they tell people it's okay to either talk about kids bad or talk that or parents, and it becomes this continuous cycle of negative toxicity. And so we've really tried to take on that piece of it when our staff come together.
You know, you make a great point there, John, when you talk about people going to a staff room to commiserate. And I want to say, like, historically, a staff room has been, you know, if you look at it on, certainly on in media, in older media, that's where people went. I mean, look back to the movie To Sir with Love in, you know, from the 60s, one of my favorite movies. They go into the staff room to talk about how bad things are, how bad the kids are, you know, how we're not going to be able to solve any of these problems. And some might say there needs to be a place for people to feel comfortable to vent, right? You don't want them venting in a classroom. You don't want them venting maybe even necessarily at a faculty meeting, but having a place to vent. But when you talk about venting without solution, I think that's what you were talking about. Just people, you know, nodding their heads and saying, oh, you know, oh, you poor thing, you poor thing, but really there's no solution to that. I think that is the stereotype, maybe, of what the staff room is. So when you think about how that space could change into something more positive, right? What are some of the thoughts that you guys have about
that? I don't know if we still have that actual space of like a staff room. I haven't experienced one in quite some time. We have one here at North Middle School, and I can say that it's rarely used as a staff hangout. Typically, in my experience, it's become a teacher's room. There's a specific teacher room that becomes the hub. And so to your question of like, how do we compete against this negative conversations and these teachers having empathy but not going anywhere? I wonder, this is going to sound very simple, but it's a very difficult task to hang out, which is we as principals need to give enough stories that teachers have that they've gone to the office frustrated, angry at the principal themselves or a parent, and they come out relieved or with a story that is not, he didn't belittle me, he didn't make fun of me, he didn't not listen to me, whatever it might be. That takes time. I think all of us here desire to change culture rather quickly. We want to see change quickly. Have an immediacy and education is not. But that's what culture takes a lot of time. There's a lack in there in principal history when they're frustrated. But then there's a building, a snowball of stories where people come out and like, man, I went and chatted with Johnny Montana and he listened to me. And he didn't maybe always hear. I felt like he heard me. Or, man, I went to Mr. Neer's office and at I was upset. My emotions got the best. Man, he did not bark at me or shot me. I apologize for the things he did wrong. You do that. What are they going to talk about when they get together? And I think that's it was always hard. I want immediate change, but that to me is what we have to do. We have to give these experiences to people who don't have much to say.
So it sounds like what you're saying is that in order to build that culture that and kind of move it from a negative, like complaining sense to a problem solving sense, that it just takes like repetition. It's you know, it's like anything, any new habit, more reps, right? More reps get more ultimate effectiveness. You know, as people start finding a place that they can vent but get a positive outcome, maybe they'll consider that to be a place to do. Because, you know, as you were talking, Brian, I was thinking about how, you know, you were saying that we don't have a staff necessarily room where people gather anymore. But what it made me think is the social media sites that are for teachers, administrators, and whatever have maybe become the staff room of now. And as you guys know, because you've all spent time looking at those are the old staff rooms there. That is people going and firing off all their, you know, all their grievances and all their complaints. And so maybe they're not gathering in person in a physical spot, but maybe what they're doing instead is finding another outlet for that. So how do we work with that? How do we work with it and around it?
I think one of the things, I go back to some of the conversations we had in the college days when we used to have legged conversations. And so if you don't hang up a gathering spot, I really think it comes down to visible and being out there in the community. So you have those conversations. Like, hey, three person standing, the other person has a foot on the ground, but they're also still moving. They're making progress to get the next person. I know all three of us have also quite a bit with doing temperature. So go through the morning and being try to visit every teacher, just to check in on how are you, what's going on with your kiddo, the competition. And even just checking and building a narrative of I'm here for you, care about you and your personal life, not just your professional life. Those things I think that then allows those stories, like Brian is talking about, where people can share, interact, and build trust and build that collegiality where they do feel comfortable coming in down to your office and having these conversations. Whether they're tough conversations, breaking celebrations to share, a breakthrough with a kid, a moment with a parent, a very tender-hearted, natural, honest conversation. Or again, to vent frustration, you have to build that, like Brian is saying, through those moments throughout the day. You know, as Johnny Montana, they're supposed to do in the morning. That's usually the easiest stuff for most of us to do it. I've taken that from him, and I just try to hit one side one morning, one day, and hit the other side of the building the next morning, just to like make sure I try to get everything. It's hard for me to get around it where it starts, but I got the way to do it. So I try to get through a hall, like even if it's during the day, during prep time, you know, even just share as I step into the classroom for a walk through. But I think that gains the room to be able to have those conversations. And have that, if it's not specific.
This is what I'm thinking. So I'm a principal. I'm an administrator. I'm a AP. I'm a superintendent. I'm listening to this conversation. And I haven't thought about the fact that there's, you know, I need to actually now move to action. There's something I need to do in order to create the type of culture where what you just described, Travis and Brian and John, how that is going to, you know, play out. So you talked about morning check-in. If that's not something that's natural to me, how do I get started doing that?
I'll jump in first. I think like most things, you fake it till you make it. You have to go in and start a conversation. And if you don't know your staff, you don't know the number of kids they have, if they have those kind of things, you just start asking those questions to build that momentum and get some confidence. So I think you just have to get out there and go. I mean, it's not a magic page. You can script some questions what you want to do. I've actually talked to people where they actually keep the map of their school and mark off where they've been to, so they make sure they get around. Because sometimes we gravitate towards areas of the building that are more natural for us. So I was an intermediate teacher. I taught grades 5 and 6. So I tend to hang out more in the older area of the building. But again, when I have harder days, sometimes I go to the primary side because I don't get some hugs. But I think it's really just trying to make sure you're getting on.
Another strategy, thanks, Travis, that I've seen work pretty quickly. A principal, when I was a superintendent in another district, she chose school culture as her goal to work on, and she wanted to use a strategy that we got from somewhere else, from another school district, where the administrative team tried to learn two things about every single staff member, and she tracked it, and so she even wrote it down, all those two things. She had about 60 staff members, and learn two different things outside of school and students about that person. And so by doing that, that helps her be able to create connections and be able to walk around and ask some questions that might be connecting to those two things that she just learned about them. And so she tracked it, and we met 3 times throughout the school year to see how she was doing towards her goal. Man, she just recently got Montana State principal high school 3 years ago.
That's awesome. And you know, that reminds me of what I do in training. When I train administrators and consult, is I tell them to take a staff list, everybody in the whole school. So from, you know, custodian to cafeteria to office to teachers to paraprofessionals, and just use your staff list, your printed staff list, and be able to do exactly what you just said, John. And that's right. A couple of things about each person that you know personally. And what you tend to find out is there are going to be some people that you don't have anything written by them. And what I would advise administrators is, like, don't let that get you down. That's not an indictment of you. What that means is simply that you just haven't found that out yet. You need to go. Those are the people you need to go find out about and expand so that you can, while you're walking the halls, Travis, say, hey, you know, I know that you're a fan of the Bears. I think we got a guy here that's a fan of the Bears. You know, and you can talk about how, you can talk about how, you saw the Bears game or something like that. Brian, you do something similar to that, right?
I do. I have on my whiteboard in my office every person's name. And then I walk is a category. So anytime I do a walkthrough, next category is card. And every time I do a card, I screen X. Then I have one that says 7 minute. To what Travis and Jenny Montana were just talking about. It's an intentional sit down that I have to sit there for 7 minutes. And because that feels like an eternity, especially if somebody that you don't necessarily know or like all that well. But in 7 minutes, if you sit there, you get past the initial surface level stuff. At some point, you can say, tell me more about that. And so it's just the way that I recommend everybody gets at least, you know, 3 or 4 walkthroughs. One set of trimester. I want to make sure every office of teachers can do it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, you have it up visually where you can look at it all the time. How is that helpful to you as an administrator? I'm thinking somebody listening, you know, thinking, why would I do that? Why would they do that? And Travis, you were talking about doing that by looking at your map, essentially, just to make sure that you made it to both sides of the building.
Yeah, I was saying I knew it that way, but I don't map. I do so every morning. I just go to the door and greet every kid as they come in, and so when I have 2 days, I try to get the door covered. Is I just stay in the lobby and my kids as they come in and stuff like that. 2 days a week, I try to get it's all about getting down one side of the hall. The next day, I get down
every staff.
Yeah, that's awesome. And John, you're being a superintendent. You have a different because you have multiple buildings. Yes, multiple
school
buildings.
Yeah, three different buildings.
So how does that work when you have multiple buildings?
Sure. Goal right now is hitting a school every day, just walking through and talking to people. So I take a break and take about 20 minutes or so and just walk through the school and talk to people in the hallways. And I just rotate the schools each day.
Martin, can I ask a question to John?
Absolutely.
Because I'm intrigued by this as a role superintendent. We would say as a teacher level, it's your job to know your students. Travis's point, you should probably know 2 things about every student that's outside of the classroom. And then we chanted at the principals. Principals should do the same to teachers. That does seem to break down when you get to the district level to the principals. And I can only assume it's because you have so much stuff, big stuff that's going on, that you have to be planning and thinking and meeting and all that kind of stuff. But can you? I've never actually heard of a superintendent say, my goal is to get into a building every day. So I applaud you for that. And I think it's one of the reasons why people love you. Can you tell me about that? Is that a possible expectation or is that something that you're finding has to happen?
Great question. Well, obviously, the size of the district is definitely a factor in how far you make it out. There are superintendents that I follow that, and you probably know some as well, that have done a great job of picking a different school each day, you know, or walk through or just, man, I can't tell you what more powerful than being in the trenches with a teacher staff out and about. They love to keep track of where their leaders are out there, trying to get your principals out and not talking and being visible, right? Same thing with superintendent. I don't think there is anything I can put above that time frame. I try to schedule it just similar to a meeting, right? So I have an hour. I tell my district staff that I'm going to head out to schools. I'm going to walk this direction, and this is where I'll be. I take my walkie-talkie. I'm kind of lucky in a district. We have about 1,000, almost 1,100 kids, and all on one campus. So we have three schools on one campus. I can be anywhere on the campus in 5 to 7 minutes. That part is unique to a district our size. Your districts, you all have several schools, so it may be harder for the superintendent to do that. But I also invite me to certain events that are going on. So I've been a part of contests this year, been a part of athletes. And so I continue to have them invite me ahead of time so we put on another meeting. So I feel like that connection to our people is probably the most strategic and powerful thing that we can do.
You know, listening to the two of you, it made me think of, especially when you're in a larger district like you and Brian and you, Travis, where it's many campuses. I don't know how big your districts are, but also, pardon me, but also in your districts, there are more that there's a superintendent, but there's probably a cabinet, probably, you know, multiple associate superintendents or, you know, whatever the leadership team is, who also could take on the roles of, you know, this is our hour per day or whatever it is that we're going to walk campuses, and they could split them up and then trade off, you know, like so that different people can get to different places. So yeah, the superintendent themselves might not be able to get to every campus, you know, every week, but they might be able to get to their, somebody could get to every campus at least every week, I would think, if not even more often than that. And, you know, I would say the same thing if you're at a school with multiple administrators, like you could get all over the place and talk to everybody, or it could be you and your assistant principal, your assistant principals, if you're in a school that is, that has multiple. And wouldn't that be a good way to train somebody in, John, what you just said, which is that sometimes and you didn't use these words, but sometimes people say the relationship part is fluff. I don't have time for that. I've got to fix everything. You know, I've got to get academics. I got to get scores up. I got to get, you know, kids behaving, all those kinds of things. And yet, if you don't take care of the culture piece, you're not going to be able to as effectively hit, you know, all those other things. If the only time you walk into a classroom is to do a walkthrough with your tablet and you're, you know, looking for specific things from your evaluation system, you're not going to get the same kind of information as your check-ins.
I totally agree with you. It goes back to management versus leadership concept, right? So you're going to manage your school or you're going to lead your school. And I know there's pieces that you do have to manage, but man, I have walked through a school with Travis Niemeyer and been in his school and seen how much he leads rather than just manages stuff. And so the more opportunities that you can create for leadership, not only for yourself, but for your students and your staff to lead, man, everything just seems to run so much better.
Yeah, right, Kevin? I absolutely agree with that. So if you were given, I want you to give final bits of advice here. If you were coaching somebody who was newly hired into a principal position and they were told by the superintendent, it wouldn't be you, John, but it would be, you know, this other superintendent who is a manager, not a leader. And the superintendent said, I'm choosing you to be the principal of this school because you got to get in there and fix everything, right? Academics are poor, behavior is poor, attendance is poor. All these things are not where they should be. And we have a lot of people who are new to our profession who are being told exactly those things, right? Change has to happen. Improvement has to happen yesterday. If you were giving them advice on how to put culture first in that situation, what would you tell them? Travis, you go first.
Oh, that's a weighted. I think the first thing is I would walk in the door, pay attention to the feeling I get when I walk in. What things do you see on the walls? How clean is that space? How organized is the space? What things do I see on the walls that communicate a message to me, whether that's a message of belonging, a message of school? Well, just what things have you had my attention on, either a parent or a student walking in the building, and also staff? Gosh, we've done so many nice tools to really enhance those spaces for staff. And that's kind of where we start with the conversation, right? We're asking about staff. But I would be thinking myself later to talk about this, but that was one of the first changes I made in the first 2 years I was there. Our staff lounge had old tables with the laminate rolling off. Now they had these cushiony chairs that had food stains all over. And not that it was in, just needed something extra. Every wall, the walls around me, it's like a color with no decoration other than the bolt support that have the required workman's comps on the walls and all that. So I hired a guy to come in and spray paint a huge logo on the wall of just the teacher's lounge with cups of coffee and drips coming out and kind of graffiti style. I had another large bear on one wall because we are the Bears. That's our mascot. I did that over teacher appreciation. And also went down to the local furniture store and asked them if they would help me with this endeavor. And so they donated two actual formal dining tables with chairs and everything else. And of course, then presented that to the staff when they came in. I had like construction team on it. We all walked in together. We welcomed the staff. They were so excited. And the next day, I actually went to the patio. Where I bring every lawn furniture from the house. And when weather is nice, we always go out and teachers can go outside. And it's a way to look around the house. It's like building. It's under trees. So it's kind of a nice, calm space for a place for teachers to go. I think, you know, as our conversation with teachers, you know, and then as you your way down the hallway, going to the main area, what do you see? So we've got a TV up there that has our house points, which is what we do at our school. We just had some boys get together, put in a couple of actual bears that, again, is our logo. So that was super fun to go with kids. It's like a big, huge guy around right now. You know, colors, vibrancy, things that speak to team. Gosh, just, and I think that just, like, walk in, I get so many comments from our parents and guests that come in that just feels so good when you walk in. And yes, part of that is what that looks like and what you see when you come in, but the other part is how you greet it, how people talk to you, how people recognize you, how their facial expressions match their voice tones. So I think all those things play a huge factor into that. And that makes a huge difference immediately overnight with kids and staff. And parents. That would be my initial.
All right, Brian.
I would say call Travis. that would be my initial advice.
Oh, way.
Yeah, I don't know how to build much more than I've been in three different buildings as a new principal. Each time you feel like I'm going to be a new me, right? I'm going to leave all my past sins and failures behind me, and I'm going to be a whole new principal. I'm going to kill it this time. And darn it, the same me shows up in this building too. And so I think I would say initially when you walk in, call Travis, and then just listen to your staff, whether it be in staff meetings, what are they talking about? What kind of questions are they bringing to you? What kind of things? Cause you're going to pick up really quick what matters to them. And if you kind of poo poo that and don't worry about that, that's what they care about. So you're not caring what they care about. There's a big, maybe stigma that gossip is wrong. Gossip can be really beneficial to a principal if you're attuned to it because they're refining the problem. They're telling you what's the problem. In the building with you, it's hard to hear and it's not fun to hear that people are talking about you. But if you can begin to hear the intent of what they're saying, maybe they're saying, man, Miller just kind of is a bulldozer. when he comes in here. He just wants to do his own thing. He doesn't really take us, our ideas into account. That's hard to hear, but that's what we need to hear. So I think just getting really good at listening to, like Travis said, pay attention to the walls. That's a form of listening. What are we celebrating? What are we taking the time to put on our walls? But also, what are they talking about? What are they griping about? What are they asking questions about? I think, you know, all of us here have wives. Oftentimes, my wife feels most heard not when I come in and solve problems in the house. Actually, me solving problems can cause friction. But when I sit and listen to her frustrations, when I listen to her frustrations and I allow her just to be frustrated, be sad, be angry at me or at something else, that's really what she needed. And so just listening to what they're talking about.
See, she didn't need to call Travis.
She didn't need to call Travis on that one. No. So, John, I'm going to change this a little bit for you. So you're not answering the exact same question, but help us wrap it up by saying you as a superintendent are going to hire that principal, right? You're going to be the one who ultimately will make that decision. What are you going to tell them is important for them to do when they start?
That's a great question. I do have a plan. Came from teaching, it took over my position. And one of the first things I talked to him about was scripting out some of his first moves, right? So I have this concept of the first thought. And we talk about the first 5 minutes. What are you going to do in the first 5 minutes? What are the first five moves you're going to make? What are the first five activities you're going to do with your staff? And so when you start scripting that stuff out with all those first 5 minutes or five tasks or five words, that helps give you a quantifiable piece that helps create that script for you for success, right? And you may have to refine that, but you have to script it out word by word at first until it is natural, and do it, because the more you think about those moves and how you connect people, I think the stronger the relationships are. And I go back to that age-old love and logic concept of the withdrawal and depositing, right? The more you can deposit into those relationships, the more you can withdraw later. And I truly believed in that piece of it, that you can build these strong relationships with people. When we get to stressful situations, that's when you really learn about your staff. That's just principle. Like, you learn how fast those staff members can get stressed out, go to negative reactions, or if they stay calm, like, how do they stay calm through the storm, right? And so I think those are the pieces when you have deposited a lot into those relationships that you can help steer that ship for those people when they're in that storm. So I can't tell new principals enough to invest the time into those relationships. So thanks, Martin.
Well, they would be lucky to have you. And of course, if there are any new principals, any new administrators, they'd be lucky to have any of you guys as their mentor. And so, guys, I want to thank you so much, Brian Miller, Travis Niemeyer, John Conan, for spending the time with me this evening on the Love, Sweat, and Tears podcast takeover episode on culture, the Montana Moment. I appreciate you guys very much. I think if we can condense all of this discussion down into two words, it appears to be call Travis. So, Travis, expect the phone to ring. In all seriousness, tell you guys how much I appreciate you, appreciate the friendship, appreciate the connection, and I look forward to staying connected with you guys.
Thanks, Martin.
Thanks, Martin.
Thank you, Martin.
Thank you.